Hello and welcome to this EMJ podcast entitled Neurologists and Cardiologists Working Together for Better Outcomes for Patients with Non-Dystrophic Myotonia. My name is George Cooper, an independent medical writer and podcast host, and this podcast is brought to you in association with Lupin Neurosciences. The content is intended for healthcare professionals who will know that non-dystrophic myotonias are muscle channelopathies caused by a gene mutation on ion channels, leading to a chronic condition which can be debilitating to the people diagnosed with these disorders. Worldwide, the prevalence of non-dystrophic myotonias is understood to be around 1 in 100,000, which varies depending on the form of the disease and between geographical regions. The major clinical manifestation of NDM is muscle stiffness or myotonia, often with pain, weakness, and fatigue. But the wide range of clinical phenotypes can make diagnosis challenging, and education around the treatment choice and the patient's management is limited. In this podcast, we will focus on one particular anti-myotonic treatment, mexiletine, to improve our understanding on how the medication's cardiac side effects could affect how it is prescribed. This podcast aims to help neurologists understand the discussions that they need to have with cardiologists to ensure a comprehensive assessment of cardiac safety of NDM patients in order for them to safely use mexiletine as an anti-myotonic treatment. This is needed to allow for an optimal approach of mexiletine treatment, initiation, maintenance, and long-term follow-up. With us today are two experts to give us their guidance. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Savine Vikar, neurologist and responsible for muscle channelopathies reference center at the Pitié-Salpêtrière Hospital in Paris, France. Dr. Vikar's main clinical research interests are muscle channelopathies with a focus on natural history studies, descriptions of new phenotypes, treatment trials, and the development of monitoring tools. Dr. Vikar, how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
And Professor Karim Wahbi, cardiologist at the University of Paris and head of the Reference Centre for Neuromuscular Cardiomyopathies at the Cochin Hospital, Paris. Professor Wahbi's studies include the clinical manifestations, therapeutic approaches and molecular mechanisms underlying cardiomyopathy in patients with neuromuscular conditions. Dr. Wahbi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Welcome, and thank you both so much for joining this discussion. Now, I'd like to start with a very important question for you, Dr. Vikar. As a neurologist, could you clarify why it is so difficult to diagnose these non-dystrophic myotonia?
The first point that makes non-dystrophic myotonia difficult to diagnose is that they belong to a group of rare genetic diseases. And not a lot of general practitioners or general neurologists are aware of these disorders. And the usual classification includes three main phenotypes with myotonia congenita, we can call it MC, or paramyotonia congenita, PC, and sodium channel myotonias, SCM. And clinically, these three phenotypes can usually and classically be differentiated based on the myotonia characteristics and distributions between lower limbs, upper limbs, and facial muscles, and based on the response to some stimuli or external triggers like exercise. There is a warm-up phenomenon by exercise in MC patients, while PC patients demonstrate a paradoxical myotonia, which worsens with repetitive activity. Another triggers can be the cold exposure with an extreme sensitivity to cold environment for PC patients, or triggers can be the some dietary factors such as fasting. So what is important to know and understand is that the frequency and severity of myotonic symptoms vary from mild to severe between the different types of NDM, or even within the same phenotype or within the same patient from one day to another, depending on the external triggers or environmental factors I just exposed. Some patients are only impacted during certain periods of their life, such as during pregnancy or when they are exposed to exacerbating factors such as cold in winter time, for example. while others have a severe permanent stiffness with a huge impact on their daily activities and quality of life if they are not treated. Also, for a given patient, myotonic symptoms can occur very episodically and then on a only daily basis and then be spaced again. So because of these symptoms fluctuations, you might have a big difference between what you can see on your clinical exam if you perform it in a warm indoor setting or if the patient's muscles are already warm up when he arrives at your clinic, and what the patient may complain of and face on a daily basis. So all these considerations make the diagnosis of NDM quite challenging and complicated.
With that in mind, you say that there's a real variety in the how extreme the symptoms manifest. Is misdiagnosis often common with this condition?
Yes, it's one reason that it's misdiagnosis, and also because not a lot of practitioners are aware of such a diagnosis also.
I mean, hence the reason why we're trying to raise awareness with podcasts such as this one. Professor Wahbi, as a cardiologist, what considerations do you need to have before using mexiletine as an anti-myotonic treatment?
Well, I think firstly, there's an important point to mention, which is that non-dystrophic myotonia is not associated with the specific cardiac involvement, contrary to other conditions such as myotonic dystrophy. And there's sometimes a confusion on that point. It's very important because there's no specific cardiac risk associated with the mexiletine in patients with NDM. The risk of cardiovascular manifestation is probably similar to that in the general population. However, mexiletine has an effect on the cardiac electrical system in patients with NDM, like in any individual in the general population. Mexiletine belongs to the 1B antiarrhythmic class, and we know that all class 1 antiarrhythmic drugs are contraindicated in patients who have a number of cardiac conditions such as heart failure, ischemic heart disease, significant conduction defects, or any tachyarrhythmia. And for that reason, it's very important in patients with NDM, like in any patient in the general population, to make sure that they do not have contraindications to use mexiletine, as they are mentioned in the summary of product characteristics.
Dr. Vikar, when choosing a treatment for NDM, how concerned are you about possible cardiac complications like arrhythmias, for example? And what understanding should neurologists who are perhaps not NDM experts such as yourself have about the clinical data and the safety of mexiletine as an anti-myotonic treatment?
Generally speaking, when you decide to introduce a treatment, it is usual and normal to consider the benefits-risk balance of the drug you want to propose to the patient. So since mexiletine may have proarrhythmic effects, some concerns have been raised regarding the use of mexiletine in myotonic patients and about the cardiologic safety with the long-term use of such a drug. But what do we know about mexiletine use in NDM patients? As Professor Wahbi just said before, mexiletine may induce arrhythmia or accentuate pre-existing arrhythmia in specific cardiac condition that may not meet in NDM patient. Because there is no cardiac involvement in NDM patients. So the cardiac safety profile of mexiletine in NDM patients appears similar to the one of the general population. Also, we have been using mexiletine to treat myotonia for decades now, for more than 40 years. First off-label and under-label since 2018. And indeed, mexiletine is now the one the only one anti-myotonic drug approved for NDM by the European Medicines Agency, based on strong evidence on both efficacy and safety of the mexiletin use in this NDM population. So we have some literature data issued from several trials, three short-term randomized placebo-controlled trial and two long-term retrospective studies, which support the safe profile of mexiletin on the cardiac function in NDM patients. Overall, more than 200 NDM patients have been enrolled in these trials. The mexiletin doses ranged from 200 to 600 milligrams per day, which is the maximal dosage. And the treatment duration extended up to 20 years in one of the retrospective studies. And none of these studies raised any safety concern, and more specifically, any significant change in EKG parameters or serious cardiac adverse event or cardiac arrhythmia cases during short-term and long-term follow-up.
Can you elaborate on why an algorithm for cardiac monitoring of these patients was needed?
Despite all the points I just mentioned about concerning the good mexiletin safe profile, many patients with NDM remained untreated due to a possible reluctance from physicians and also sometimes also from patients to start treatment because of preconceptional ideas about mexiletin and its potential cardiac side effects, which ideas can be reinforced by the mandatory cardiac assessments before initiation and under treatment. Our role as NDM neurologist and cardiologist experts is to explain that there is no cardiac involvement in the NDM and to discuss the long-term cardiac safety data that exists for mexiletin use in NDM and to show that there is a clear plan to minimize the risks. So clear to us, and when I say us, I mean our expert group, which is composed of three neurologists and five cardiologists from different French neuromuscular reference centers. It appeared clear to us that a simple tool is needed to facilitate physician decision making in initiating and following mexiletin treatment in NDM adult patients. That's why we designed this algorithm, which provides a step-by-step approach to guide healthcare professional in the management of the mexiletin therapy in this NDM patients population.
How did you develop this algorithm?
We have several workshops and we discuss about our own experience, of course, and the literature data and the SPC of the drugs. And about from all this, we start to design the algorithm. And after we discuss all the points we need to share.
I mean, any diagnostic tool that's going to help your peers is invaluable. Professor Warby, can you talk a little bit on what measures are in place to minimize the risk of potential cardiac side effects due to mexiletin in patients with NDM?
Well, just as Dr. Vicar mentioned, the measures that are present in the algorithm are really in line with what is mentioned in the summary of the product characteristics, but also influenced by our own experience and some other data issued from the scientific literature on that topic. The algorithm provides very practical information on what should be done before the initiation of the treatment to make sure that patients with NDM are really eligible for mexiletin regarding its safety profile, but also on what should be done during follow-up once the treatment has been initiated. So very basically, before the initiation of the treatment, it's very important to have an evaluation by a cardiologist with at least an ECG and an echocardiogram. Sometimes other assessments may be necessary, particularly in patients who have an abnormal ECG, an abnormal echo, or any specific cardiovascular symptom. And the cardiologist has to check that patients do not have the contraindications I previously mentioned, personal history of myocardial infarction or non-revascularized coronary artery disease, heart failure with an ejection fraction of below 50%, history of supraventricular or ventricular arrhythmia, or significant conduction defects with bifascicular block, complete bundle branch block, or major atrial ventricular blocks. So that's before the initiation of the treatment. And then if a patient, for patients who are eligible for the treatment, it's important to have a second ECG done once you have reached the maximum effective dose, which generally takes about 3 weeks to make sure that the treatment is well tolerated, particularly to make sure that you don't have a significant widening of the KRS complexes of more than 25%. And then you have the long-term follow-up, and it's important to have cardiovascular assessments repeated during follow-up. Generally, our recommendation was to have an ECG done every 2 years and to have a more complete cardiovascular assessment with a cardiologist every 5 years to make sure that contraindications to the treatment are not present.
I understand. And just to expand on some of the points that you raised there, what would you say are the main benefits of the mandatory cardiac assessments before initiation and during titration of mexiletine in patients with NDM?
Well, very basically, cardiac assessments are important to stratify the risk for mexiletine-related adverse events, particularly the risk for patients to have ventricular tachyarrhythmias that can represent a cause of sudden death. When you have all those assessments made, you can be sure that patients with a low risk who do not have any of those contraindications can safely receive mexiletine. And we know that those patients have probably a cardiovascular risk profile, which is quite similar to that from individuals in the general population. And on the other hand, with this algorithm, you can detect patients who are at high risk, and you can avoid the development of major cardiovascular complications.
And just before we wrap up, I wanted to ask this question to both of you. So from everything that we've heard today, do you think this work that you have done collaborating on this algorithm will help improve the understanding on prescribing and using mexiletine safely for NDM patients?
We hope that this simple algorithm will assist healthcare team who caring of NDM patients and will enable accurate screening and monitoring of mexiletine-treated patients to avoid cardiac events under treatment.
Yeah, I think it was very important to have the point of view and the expertise of both neurologists and cardiologists to provide very practical recommendations which can be applicable in a real-life setting to our patients. And to make sure that patients can really benefit from that treatment safely.
Now, obviously, we understand that the algorithm is currently in a development stage and it's pending review and publication in a peer-reviewed journal. However, in the meantime, I would like to encourage any listeners, peers out there to follow, and who knows, hopefully in the near future, we'll be doing another podcast discussing the algorithm and how it can be implemented into your colleagues' practice. That's about all for today. I just wanted to thank you both so much for your time and sharing your expertise and insights on this podcast. It's been a real pleasure speaking to you, and it's been so helpful to understand how using a specialized cardiac monitoring algorithm can aid the multidisciplinary team to arrive at the best safe and effective treatment for patients with non-dystrophic myotonia, helping them to achieve better outcomes with their condition. So thank you very much both for your time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, there's plenty more subjects that may interest you. So just go to www.emjreviews.com to find out more. Goodbye for now.